Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. This is the InfoWars Nightly News. I'm your host, Aaron Dykes. Today is Tuesday, August 28th, 2012.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, Big Sis Napolitano tucks the NBA into the Homeland Security bed, but lets biological agents play in the subway late. Then, Alex goes teleprompter free as Steve Quell and Doug Hagman release bombshell information for martial law.
The bottom line here is I've got a source from the DHS that said it's going hot.
Now I'm being told that you'll go to sleep on a Friday night. Between Friday and instantly between the times that the overnight hot money changes hands, there will be an orchestrated cyber attack on the major banks of the world.
And Minneapolis citizens told not to panic as Black Hawk helicopters black out their sky. All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
Tonight we have a black helicopter story, the kind of stuff conspiracy theorists have been lampooned over for years and years, decades even, because civilians are told not to fear the black ops circling over Minneapolis. If you see military helicopters flying low over Minneapolis, don't be alarmed. They're just training in an urban environment, reports WCCO. Of course, they didn't bother to inform anyone in Minneapolis that they were conducting exercises with Black Hawk helicopters until members of the public called outraged to law enforcement and media outlets. At that point, and only at that point, did they decide to spin the story and reassure people that nothing menacing was going on, that these were just friendly training helicopters. And by the way, the location of where it's taking place will remain secret so the public doesn't gather around, because that would be unsafe. Never mind the implications of the exercise itself in occupied America, the Orwellian deception that it doesn't exist, and yet there it is, and it's harmless. Part of the same old script we've seen for a long time. Only months ago, back in May, in Coconut Grove, South Florida, there was a similar exercise conducted with military helicopters, explosions. The public was once again not informed, and yet when the media decided to report on it after the exercises had already begun, they spun it by saying, wow, what a cool tourist story that they're doing Black Hawk explosion exercises there in Florida. Now, here in the Minneapolis exercises, they've been going on since the 19th. Here we are on August 28th when they're first reported, and they'll be going on through early September. But meanwhile, we're not arming the Syrian rebels, of course, and yet we are admittedly arming the Syrian rebels made up of Al-Qaeda factions that we literally airlifted there from Libya, which we literally airlifted to Libya to oust Gaddafi, now to help topple Assad. The New York Times scrubbed a passage which revealed the CIA was helping funnel arms to rebel groups. This is all part of Paul Joseph Watson's story on the scrubbing of the CIA's arming of Syrian rebels. In the article entitled "France Says It Would Recognize Provisional Syrian Government," the line was included: American intelligence agents have helped funnel arms to rebel groups. But this was changed only 15 minutes after this version of the story was published, changed from how they were arming and funneling arms to the rebels to American intelligence agents have helped identify the rebel groups that receive arms. Well, obviously, they're well aware of their true identity, again, being an Al-Qaeda faction supported by the West to try to destabilize these Middle Eastern regimes. Why? Also, they can create a wider regional war, and so they can covertly topple as many little dominoes as possible. Of course, you recall less than a month ago, Obama's secret order authorizing the CIA backing of these rebel factions in Syria was authorized. It was covered in Al Jazeera, of course. And it's been completely admitted in the mainstream media, from the London Guardian to the BBC to the New York Times, you name it, that the West is openly backing the Syrian rebel forces, openly backing the sham that is the Syrian National Council, the transition councils, all aligned with the Bilderberg factions, the United Nations, and the other super globalist organizations that don't want any independent nations. Not that Syria is good. It's got a lot of corruption there, but it's not the brand of corruption aligned with the larger cartel. And this brings us to Waleed Mulam, That is Assad's foreign minister. He's in the news in the London Independent saying, we believe the U.S. is the major player against Syria and the rest are its instruments. You don't have to approve of the Syrian regime. You don't have to approve of Assad. Certainly, he's been vicious to a number of people that are not aligned with him. But at the same time, facts are facts. The West is definitely the most major player and the U.S. leading that herd. Everyone else is just an instrument in that chorus. This is a USA, CIA, Pentagon, Department of Defense script. It's all a bunch of hockey. And so here he is, Mulam, the foreign minister, saying, I don't understand your slogan of fighting international terrorism when you are supporting terrorism in Syria. And those are facts. Al-Qaeda is our enemy, but in Syria, they're our ally. The people of America are free, but when they're occupied by Homeland Security trying to catch terrorists, they're not free. They are the enemy. And that's the way it works. Mulam goes on to say that perhaps 60% of the country's violence comes from abroad. He names Turkey, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and other allies of the U.S., but specifically points out that the U.S. is exercising its influence over all these partners. When the Americans say we are supplying the opposition with sophisticated instruments of telecommunications, isn't this part of a military effort when they supply the opposition with 25 million and much more from Gulf and Saudi Arabia? Back on the homeland, Big Sis's super agency is now re-expanding to the sports domain. Of course, it's been over a year that she said the TSA will expand to train stations, to bus stations, to shopping malls, to sports centers. You've seen them try to indoctrinate sports goers already with pat-downs at the Super Bowl and plans to expand them to different venues all across the nation in the name of safety at sporting events. Well, now she's back hosting events and doing little PR stunts at football games, urging people to look out and see something if you say something, but don't say anything if you see a tyrannical government entity taking over everything that was constitutional and good in this country. But that's just one stop on the public relations campaign for Big Sis's Homeland Security takeover of all of America. Of course, there's the big spectacle of the phony campaign for the Republican National Convention this week in Tampa. And part of that overall police state presence includes, of course, the TSA, where screeners were seen doing bag searches for journalists, attendees, you name it. There also have been seen at the train and bus depots in that area. And you've also got Federal Protective Services, another Stasi group under the Homeland Security umbrella, checking people, telling people they can't record facilities in that area. That's all been caught on tape. We covered it at Infowars.com. Also, a listener sent us today photos in New Jersey at the train stations where TSA inspectors have likewise shown up. In weeks past, they've shown up and begun to unroll their security detail in Chicago at train stations. You've seen them at bus depots in Houston and other areas across the country. Janet Napolitano told you they were coming. She told you they were going to take over sports centers, shopping malls, everything. All of public life will be regulated by these little minions at TSA in part of the larger control from Homeland Insecurity. With more on this larger police state takeover, Melissa Meldon covers some of the most important aspects going on right now.
Thanks, Aaron. This is Melissa Mountain reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Now, as InfoWars has extensively reported on, the government has been arming to the teeth, buying up ammo left and right. And earlier this year, the DHS bought 450 million rounds of hollow point bullets. More recently, Paul Joseph Watson reported that the DHS put in an additional order for 750 million more rounds of hollow point ammunition, bringing the total to billions. Now, other government agencies are also buying up ammo. We have agencies such as the Social Security Administration set to purchase 174,000 rounds of hollow point. And as public distrust grew, the Department of Homeland Security decided to classify their ammo purchases, actually going in and blacking out information on their purchasing order with what appears to be a Sharpie marker about what kind of ammunition they're buying and how much. Now, in addition to that, the TSA recently set to purchase 1,400 pounds of explosives for the canine training program. They put in an invitation to bid on 700 pounds of A5 flake RDX explosives and 700 pounds of high-density ammonium nitrate explosives, which are set to be used as training aids by explosive-sniffing dogs participating in the National Canine Program. And according to the contract, these explosives were set to be delivered today. Now, this should be pretty concerning, considering that just a little over a year ago, headline, stolen police explosives at Sky Harbor worry travelers. Now, you'll recall just over a year ago, police at Sky Harbor International Airport in Phoenix lost live explosives during a training exercise. And these explosives weren't found until days later when a random passerby happened to see a cooler sitting on a street corner. So you put all that together, they're buying thousands of pounds of explosives, they're buying millions of bullets, and then you've got proposed legislation in California where gun vendors are supposed to report anyone who purchases over 1,000 rounds within a 5-day period. So ironically, you as a private citizen cannot purchase more than 1,000 rounds of ammunition. The government, however, can purchase billions of rounds of ammunition and then just classify it and not let you know why. So one thing is certain, though, as public distrust for the government grows and they arm to the teeth with less and less transparency, InfoWars will be right here to report that to you as the mainstream media continues to ignore it. Now, switching gears, government think tank the Brookings Institute put out a report yesterday entitled Understanding the Loop, Regulating the Next Generation of Drones. And they go on to discuss how drones have revolutionized warfare, and Congress has voted to further expand domestic drone use, with the FAA loosening restrictions. But they say today's drones are merely the Model T of drone technology, and tomorrow's drones are expected to leap from automation to autonomy. They go on to say, today's humans are still very much in the loop. Humans generally decide when to launch a drone, where it should fly, and whether it should take action against a suspect. But as drones develop greater autonomy, humans will increasingly be out of the loop. Human operators will not be necessary to decide when a drone, or perhaps a swarm of microscopic drones, takes off, where it goes, and how it acts. And they go on to explain how these autonomous drones will make their decisions based on a diagram of Boyd's OODA loop. And as you can see here, it's got a lovely pentagram on there for you. OODA stands for Observation, Orientation, Decision, and Action. Now, Boyd's theory of decision-making shows how machine systems like drones operate, make decisions, and interact with the world. And this report goes on to call for policymakers having a better understanding of this OODA loop and what the next generation of autonomous drones will look like and how they will work. However, according to a story in Counterpunch a week ago, drones destroy their own OODA loops. And this is a story by Franklin Spinney. And basically what happens is imperfect feedback distorts the observations point in the cycle, which would be the first point in the OODA loop. And I think a quote out of this Brookings report kind of really sums up the situation when they go on to say, autonomy is no longer solely a feature of humans. Whether it is a desirable quality for machines will be among the most important policy questions of the coming years. And I think as drones fill our skies, whether or not it's a desirable quality for our safety, security, and freedom will actually be the most important question. I'm Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Back to you, Aaron.
I caught another news item today because it took place in my hometown of Angleton, Texas, and neighboring Lake Jackson, Texas, all in Brazoria County, where the Brazosport Water Authority shut down a treatment facility because it detected chemicals from the routine herbicide treatment inside the water. It wasn't Monsanto's version of Roundup herbicide. Rather, it was Allegari's glyphosate herbicide, all containing glyphosate and other endocrine-disrupting chemicals. They shut it down under emergency as a, quote, precaution, but quickly brought it back online by 10:30 p.m., determining that, well, it was a safe level of glyphosate in the water, even though it accumulates and contributes to infertility, sterility, organ disruption, pregnancy, birth defects, and on and on. Here's one of the material safety data sheets for Allegari's glyphosate 5.4, and you can see how they use it all across the country, and they've got here how safe it is and how it's okay to have up to a mouthful swallowed of this herbicide. And Well, to call poison control and sip more water if it's in your water, basically. But this is actually a problem that's been going on all across the country. It's part of a larger, bigger deal that really hasn't been reported on. Back in June, I did an article on Syngenta, the other GMO firm, whose CEO frequently attends Bilderberg. They had to settle with more than 2,000 water districts because they had allegedly contaminated the water supply of 52 million Americans just in the Midwest region with their herbicide, atrazine, which is not really that different from glyphosate. Both contribute to birth defects, menstrual problems, endocrine disruptions, and they are known to affect reptiles, amphibians, fish, mammals, and on, but we are repeatedly told it's safe for humans to consume and that even a lifetime of consuming plants grown with these herbicides or from drinking the water will not harm anyone, and it's okay, and it's not part of a depopulation deal, and it's banned in Europe, but just forget about it. You know what's really going on here. I'm sure you do. I'm sure you've caught on by this point. It's a larger de facto eugenics operation. While they distract you with the overhead debate about what to do about overpopulation and what kind of measures are acceptable, they've been covertly putting it in our water, in our food, in our environment for 100 years, for decades. It's been in there. They're doing it. They don't want you even focusing on that, and it's accumulating in your body. It's contributing to all the health effects we've seen surfacing in the population, cancer, and all the other problems. This brings us to some rather disturbing news just from today. Big Sis begins releasing biological agents into Boston subway and again assures the public it's completely safe, even though the government has a total and thorough history of experimenting on the public in open-air experiments without the consent of anyone, without informing anyone what's going on. Homeland Security will begin releasing what they say is a dead bacteria into the Boston subway as part of a test to detect biological agents that could be deployed by terrorists. Whoever those terrorists are, never mind the actual government entity releasing it into the actual subway where real people are going. But they're telling you it's safe, it's not going to affect anyone who's healthy, never mind what it would do to people who are already unhealthy. And they have not been forthcoming about what exactly this bacteria compound consists of, but they say, oh, it's a safe food supplement. If you can even believe them, if you can believe anything this government says, especially when it comes out of the Department of Homeland Security. But I've got their document, 33 pages or so, telling you how safe and tested it all is. But I also have piles and piles of documents of unauthorized, illegal experimentation on humans going back a minimum of 100 years, including the very well-known release of bacteria in the New York subways back in the 60s, where more than a million people were exposed to what they said then was safe, even though it caused health effects and possibly even deaths. They did it more quietly in Chicago, and that's just scratching the surface. Why do they say they could do this? Well, they've written an illegitimate law under U.S. Title Code 50, subsection 1520A, subparagraph B, where they say, well, there's restrictions on the use of human subjects for testing of chemical or biological agents, but, and I've got a tile here with that law if we want to read it together. It says prohibited activities are, according to the Secretary of Defense, they may not conduct directly or by contact any test or experiment involving the use of chemical agents or biological agents on the civilian population, and furthermore, any other testing of a chemical agent or biological agent on human subjects would be prohibited. So that sounds good. That sounds safe. The government has agreed not to test on us until you read the exceptions in paragraph B. Subject to subsection C, D, and E of this section, the prohibition of testing on human subjects does not apply to tests or experiments carried out for any of the following purposes. One, any peaceful purpose related to medical, therapeutic, pharmaceutical, agricultural, industrial, or research activities. That's a pretty wide spectrum already. But the subsection goes on to explain how also not prohibited of unauthorized human testing is any purpose related to the protection against chemical and biological weapons or related agents. It also says any law enforcement purpose at all. Any law enforcement purpose, including a purpose related to riot control, would not be controlled by the prohibitions on testing on human subjects. And it goes on to say how they're supposed to do informed consent, but it's been interpreted over and over that just posting these obscure laws in the mile-long U.S. title codes somehow itself is consent. And you've got piles of documents. There's a really good Wikipedia entry, the Unethical Human Experimentation in the United States document, which details hundreds of examples. You've also got a brief history of human experiments, where I've highlighted 23 examples. I'll just name a few of them here. Dan Bedondi has been researching this area as well. He's going to do a detailed report later in the week. But you've got things like Jonas Salk, who developed the polio vaccine, testing on mental institution patients and influenza virus, all without informed consent. You've got, going back to 1892, the injecting of women with serum for patients with syphilis. You've got Dr. Cornelius Rhodes with the Rockefeller Institute of Medical Investigations infecting humans with cancer cells. That's back in the 1930s. You've got the well-known Tuskegee syphilis experiment starting in the early 30s, which went on for more than 40 years without any informed consent. When it was later found and explained and the cover-up began to end, you know what they said in the 1970s? They said, society can no longer afford to leave the balancing of individual rights against scientific progress to the scientific community. They said in the 70s, in the panel that investigated the Tuskegee experiments, that you don't have individual rights, and in the name of science, they're going to experiment on basically whoever they want. And you've got other quotes here as they detail how more than 239 populated areas were contaminated with biological agents just in a span of 20 years from 1949 to 1969. John D. Rockefeller led an investigation in the 90s, probably covering up for his own family's role in so many of these experiments, where it found that the Department of Defense alone had experimented on literally hundreds of thousands of military personnel in human experiments and through exposure to known dangerous substances. That's just the military soldiers. That's just the scratching of the surface, the limited amount they had to admit to in government investigations. They also took advantage of all kinds of vulnerable populations, of course, prison populations, but also pregnant mothers, babies, poor people, foreigners in Latin American countries, where they did experiments that at the time wouldn't have even been allowed inside the United States. They used Seventh-day Adventists, told them that if they weren't going to fight in wars, that they had to subject themselves to these human experiments. And lots of other vulnerable groups as well. That was all just before they moved on to the general public and began bombarding cities with bacterial and chemical agents in planes spraying over large metropolitan areas. They injected people with uranium, plutonium, and other radioactive elements. They hit indigenous populations in Alaska with radioactive elements, spraying it on entire population areas. They did stuff like this over and over and over throughout the decades, time and again. It's some of the most well-known corporations and research scientists, and they were all promoted, never prosecuted, and protected completely by the government as they used the population to test on. It really makes me sick to read. I don't have time to go through all these examples. Again, Dan Bedondi is going to do a detailed report later, and Alex covers it in detail in Endgame, the blueprint for global enslavement, explaining how it's part of the de facto eugenics operation being waged against all of humanity. They took the real eugenics, but then they applied it in a de facto sense to the general population. You were being assaulted, you're being killed, and you're being gone after with chemical, biological, and radioactive elements while they get you afraid to look under your bed because of so-called terrorists. The government has killed more civilians, more regular people, more innocent people just in the 20th century alone than any other unnatural cause of death. It's known as democide. You better look it up. You better get your facts straight, and we better start to fight back against this government who has usurped us, fought against us, and tried to kill us. That's all I have time for today. I'll turn to the quote of the day, and we'll be back with extensive interviews from Alex Jones. He covers the gamut in three different interviews. Stay tuned. This is a very powerful episode of the InfoWars Nightly News. Here's today's daily quote. The value of man should be seen in what he gives and not in what he is able to receive. That's Albert Einstein, and we hope you'll keep watching. Tune in to PlanetInfoWars.com, create your own channel, and don't forget to help support us financially and by getting the educational materials you can help distribute yourself at PrisonPlanet.tv.
The elite have left a massive wave of destruction behind them as they cold-bloodedly experiment on civilian populations as if we are lab rats. A string of congressional investigations has uncovered more than 20,000 secret tests that were carried out against the American people between 1910 and 2000. One well-known eugenic study, the Tuskegee Syphilis Project, killed hundreds of blacks and spanned 40 years until whistleblowers exposed it in 1972. From 1943 until present, the British have tested lethal nerve gas on their own personnel, on land, air, and sea. Many died instantly. Still others died grueling deaths over several years. The federal government commissioned secret radiation experiments on thousands of non-consenting patients. Hundreds of hospitals in the U.S. injected healthy men, women, and children with uranium and plutonium at dosage levels ranging from non-therapeutic to lethal, killing many of the test subjects. Pregnant wives of GIs were given vitamins by base doctors that actually consisted of highly radioactive uranium-239 and plutonium-241, resulting in violent miscarriages and the death of the mothers.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow info warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have a glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
David Ortiz reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Last night, I went to go see the film 2016, Obama's America, based on Dinesh D'Souza's book, The Roots of Obama's Rage, and other articles he wrote. The movie details the author's view on how Obama was raised and how he formed his political ideology. D'Souza argues that Obama's anti-colonial and ultimately communist agenda were taught to the president by five politically radical mentors he befriended throughout his life, as well as the distant ambitions of his lost father, whom the filmmaker assumes is Barack Obama Sr. These five individuals are Frank Marshall Davis, Reverend Jeremiah Wright, Bill Ayers, Edward Said, Roberto Unger. Let's go now to this report.
The pain I felt was my father's pain. My questions were my brother's questions.
According to Box Office Mojo, 2016, Obama's America is already the highest-grossing conservative political documentary of all time, having grossed over $9 million in less than 1 week. The film is so popular, an additional 700 movie theaters nationwide have decided to show the film this weekend. I recently decided to catch the film and to get some feedback from moviegoers. What are your thoughts on the film?
I thought it was excellently made. I thought it was very insightful. I thought it hit on the high points that we all need to be considering and learning about Barack Obama.
It requires an attention span. You just, you can't watch it like you do TV and get, you know, sound bites like you do from Fox News or whatever, you know.
Going back and dipping into Barack's past and his family, because we're all so influenced by our families, that really resonated with me.
I knew a lot about Obama. I didn't vote for him, obviously, because I knew when he was saying hope and change, it wasn't going to be good, hope and change. And I don't know why I felt that way, but it was something that just really troubled me that he never really told us what he was going to do. He was just going to transform America and the world, and that sounded really creepy.
I thought it was very well presented. No name calling, but just here are the facts, and the facts, of course, are astounding.
I'm not really that huge into the political scene, but I think it was really eye-opening, especially for me. I really didn't know much about Obama. I don't think anyone really did, which was proved in the film.
I would say vote Libertarian. There's a better alternative to both Obama and Romney, and that is Gary Johnson, the former New Mexican governor who is the Libertarian presidential candidate. That's who I'm voting for. Thank you.
While D'Souza educates his audience about the position of these men and the possible connection they have with the current policies of the White House, he fails to mention many other even more disturbing facts about the Obama administration. 2016 Obama's America does mention a deficit of over $16 trillion. However, the film conveniently leaves out how in 2009, Obama extended Bush's TARP policy, giving the banks over $23.7 trillion, money which quite possibly helped fund this film. The movie also never mentions Mitt Romney or the election. If this movie mentioned Mitt Romney, then the similarities of the two candidates would be brought into question. Some of these similarities include their support of Obama's NDAA legislation, which gives the federal government the green light to disappear citizens, and the groping policies of the TSA. If you want to truly understand the motivating force behind the president, the film The Obama Deception, available at InfoWarsShop.com or on YouTube, is the only film to watch. Other distortions include a claim that Obama is actually going to close Guantanamo Bay while it remains open to this day. The movie includes many polarizing figures, entrapping the audience in classic left-right paradigm thinking. While Obama is obviously pushing socialism, the movie ends by catering to all the fears, emotions, and ambitions of the neocon movement. Since Obama has anti-colonialist views, according to this movie, then he will allow the Middle East to form the United States of Islam. This baseless conjecture is just more fuel for the warmongering plutocrats to get a naive public to go along with their agenda to destroy the existing Middle East and replace it with their puppet dictators. Much of the film is slow moving as well. I thought the movie focuses too much on puppets and not on the puppet masters. The film is clear propaganda designed to protect the true controlling global criminals while advancing their agenda of war and death. Again, if you want the hardcore facts on Obama and those that control him, watch The Obama Deception, available at InfoWarsShop.com and on YouTube. Reporting for InfoWars Nightly News, I'm David Ortiz.
Welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. I'd like to thank Aaron Dykes for doing a great job on the news portion this evening. Now, we're about to turn towards the events unfolding as we speak in the Gulf of Mexico. We're going to talk to a man who worked with the fire department during Katrina, who's been a reporter for us on the inside, well, since even before Katrina. And then we're going to go to break and come back with an in-depth interview with talk show host and researcher Steve Quayle about the government gearing up for collapse and martial law. So we're going to talk about the probability of that coming up. Now, here's the bad news on the hurricane. It looks like to the day, as it's going to hit, they're saying sometime after midnight, to the day of Katrina. So it'll be 7 years tomorrow that Katrina hit New Orleans. This hurricane, Isaac, is aimed right at it to hit in the early morning hours, just like we saw with Katrina. And it is just incredible that this is happening this way, again, right up against an election. So amazing. Isaac has now become a hurricane from a tropical storm. Army Corps says New Orleans is ready. Troops are patrolling the streets. Will we see the military engaging in gun confiscations, even in high and dry areas of people's homes? Will we see the police robbing banks and Walmarts? Will we see citizens being machine gunned for trying to walk out with their families on the highways? Just incredible information. Now, Charles has given his name on air before, and he had some retribution for it against himself and his family. He's been listening to the show since the late 1990s. He's given us incredible information on things going on in Louisiana, and he is in New Orleans. Today he called into the show to give us information. It was so important, I wanted to have him on the nightly news. So we'll just say Charles from New Orleans, Louisiana, but he has been a long-term source of ours. He was the first place, the day after it happened, the first person to report, and we were the first place to expose, after Katrina, that people trying to walk out on the highway were gunned down. And I have to tell you, even though I'd known Charles for about 8 years when Katrina happened, I thought he had to be making that up. Then it came out. Then the police were even convicted of it. So he's got some big breaking news for us right now off of what he saw at Katrina and the preparations that are being made right now, and his police sources. We'll just leave it at that, saying that the governor is saying, you won't go to the Superdome, but we're not telling you where you're going. Wow, so this time the cameras won't even know what's happening. And Charles also exposed dead bodies everywhere that got covered up last time. Charles from Louisiana joins us. Charles, you've got the floor. Break down what happened with Katrina and now what you see being prepared today?
Well, okay, now I don't live in New Orleans. I live in Walker. I got to travel to New Orleans. It's 70-something miles. We would take water down there first, and I missed my 2 inches. They moved my 2 inches. I didn't know where they were at. So the volunteer firemen said, come with us. We would go down there, get there 4 or 5 in the morning. They wouldn't let us put our boats in the water until we showed you know, insurance, the owners, the boat and all that. They were trying to delay everybody. They didn't want nobody to know what happened. They didn't want no cameras, no cell phones. I said, this is kind of odd. So the first day, we ran into a body, and he said, well, drag this body up there. They said, no, leave it. It was a little girl, about 9 years old, a little black girl. And they said, no, leave it there. We don't have time for it. And he said, we don't have to put it. He said, leave it there, or you get out of the water now. You go to shore now. So we went there. So we started hearing a lot of stuff. Like we had a scanner. When the police shot the retarded people trying to get out of the water to come up on a bridge, they shot them down. And then we didn't know till 2 days later that the police planted guns on the ones they shot down and made false police reports that they were armed. People seen them. These people were just trying to get out of the ninth ward. The water is very high there. So
Didn't you tell me some of them were also mentally retarded?
Yes, I think two of them, one of them was mentally retarded. He's a retard, you know. Couldn't hardly write his name and nothing like that. Talk slurred and all that. I got this later on. My aunt, she used to work for the district attorney down there. So that's the one they moved, and I couldn't find her because they sent her to Texas then, and they sent my other aunt to LSU. But the most interesting thing is, about the third day, the first day of the gun confiscation, we were listening to the police scanner on, I'm trying to think of the street, an old woman, 56 years old, come to the door with Magazine Street, yeah, with a gun and a Bible. They said it was a gun and knife. It wasn't. It was a gun and a Bible. And the policeman broke her jaw. And they beat her up, and they got her out of town. You probably heard the story afterwards before.
Sure, a lot of that was on the news. Very tough. Yeah. So they're shooting mentally retarded people and breaking women's jaws.
Yeah, 56 years old, because she said, this is my house. And she said, come with a Bible. They said it was a gun. But we heard it over the scanner.
Please continue.
And so we went there like this. They wouldn't let us go to different places. But when the military come in with the water, we brought water into our boats. We bring our boats down there. And then we went to one place toward the Dutcher Canal, right, in St. Bernard Parish, which they just evacuated everybody out of St. Bernard Parish already. They had some women there, and they had a two-story house, and the woman come out with a baby. It was two of them, a young girl and a mother. And he says, well, can you give me some of that water? He says, sure, how thirsty are you? She said, we need water. We don't have no water. And he said, well, show me something. He said, she said, show me something. So she lifted her blouse, or, you know, T-shirt up. And he said, well, you ain't too thirsty. So she showed her, the breast and threw a couple of bottles of water in. And I got so emotional. I mean, Mr. Jones, this is, you don't understand this till you see this. You understand?
But I mean, number one, I wouldn't make a woman in trouble show me her breast or anything. I mean, I would rather, die. But in front of kids, too, what type of people are these and who was making women show their breast?
Well, it was the military. It was in fatigues, you know. There's camouflage, and the little baby was like maybe 2 years old, 3 years old. But they had another little girl, like 17 years old. There.
Unbelievable! Absolute evil.
I wouldn't lie about it.
No, I know stuff like that came out in the media. You told us about all this. Continuing with what else you saw.
Well, at the Dome Stadium, when the sports were going on, we passed there. Mr. Jones, the stink was so awful. And they're looking at the guy and say, there's a body there. They had it covered up in a wheelchair. And the police stand there. I said, you only go. He said, we can't go no closer to this. And they had people help me. I said, what? She said, oh, they're raping the women up in there. And so I said, go up there and help the woman. And he said, we can't go in there. You ain't going in there neither.
And let's be clear, you were telling us this at the time, and it later came out on the news. That's why you're such a great source. It's all been very accurate. that they would, for over a week, leave them in there, and the police wouldn't go in and help anybody, and then they would make them sit there and beg for water and food and wouldn't even give them that. And meanwhile, they were running around the police robbing everything.
Now, I've seen some of that on Canal Street. On Canal Street, they were shopping. They were shopping, actually shopping, Mr. Jones. Shopping. You know, with bears come out with stuff, and up there, and I look like this, and he said, y'all got to get near the end. I said, well, what about, he said, go ahead. But then I found out they were robbing jewelry stores. When coming back, you know, we get a lot of stores coming back home, you know what I mean? They were robbing jewelry stores, and they had an apartment upstairs where they were stashing the merchandise, the loot or whatever, you know? And they did find the apartment. But it's unbelievable. I mean, you couldn't write a book about it. And one little guy asked for water, and Mr. Jones, they said, you want some water? And it was on the news 2-3 days later. They put the dog on him. Dog bit him all up in the legs. And all they wanted was a bottle of water.
So it was basically a free-for-all robbing everybody. Let's go back to the Superdome and more of what you saw. I mean, break down what really happened there.
Well, really, I'm telling you, I couldn't get that close, but I could stand back a ways, you know. I couldn't get past the police, you know what I mean? We were just kind of tie our boats up, and we were just kind of walking. Most of Bourbon Street now was dry, you understand? They were partying and drinking, a lot of people. And the Dome Stadium, that's in the Crescent City, they just surrounded it, you know what I mean? The police surrounded it with dogs and guns, and once you got in, you couldn't get out.
Now, break down from your perspective. We know FEMA cut the communication lines and other things. What do you think the master plan was here?
Well, Harry Lee, my aunt, she worked for the district attorney. I got a nephew, my wife, he worked for Harry Lee before Harry Lee died. But they still cut the lines. They didn't want no communication in there and coming out. That's why they wouldn't let us bring cell phones or cameras. It was supposed to be a lot worse than it was, you see. And the Ninth Ward, they didn't report this, but they were shooting back at the Ninth Ward, but the police wouldn't go in there. They ran the police out a couple of times. They knew what was happening.
Where people fought back, the police went away. So that's why they went to the wealthy, rich areas.
They left. And when the gun confiscation come, I was there for that first day. Men would just trim and bring their guns out. Their wives would bring their guns out. One woman stood up to him on St. Rock Street and said, I need this gun. You might as well kill me now. I got two children. They're coming out tonight. They're robbing and raping, and I'm not giving this gun up. Just shoot me now. They left alone, and they went down to the next house. It's the truth. She stood up to him, and they left alone.
Continue.
And so, I was still looking for my aunt, but in St. Bernard Parish, they the policeman, his mother was there, kept saying, they coming, Ma. That was a big story there, and his mother died, you know. It was mass confusion, but they wanted mass confusion. I'm gonna tell you something you won't believe. They actually sent ice trucks back with ice, you know, bringing ice to New Orleans. They actually told them to turn them back. I know that's hard to believe. I have no reason to lie to you.
Well, Charles, it all came out. Why do you think they wanted to make it so bad so that FEMA could then say, "See, we don't have enough power. Give us unlimited power."
They wanted more power and all that, but they wanted to break the spirit of the people not to resist, just to go along, you know. The convicts, they let the cells fill up. Then they kept them in water, the ones in Barry prison, made them sit in water for 10, 12 hours. It was just something just to abuse. Any abuse in the world they could do, they did it right then and there.
And this is a microcosm of what to expect in other crises, and other governments act this way. As well, they use any crisis as a pretext to grab more power and to beta test what they can do to other areas of the country. Now they admit in Army documents that are public, Charles, I know you listen to the show, so you've heard us cover them, that they plan to cordon and lock down major U.S. cities under a martial law plan, and Katrina was a test to see if we will go to our knees.
Well, We heard they coming back, you know, from the firemen and some police. See, there was police come down from Texas and all to help New Orleans policemen. And when they were so cruel and all that, they refused to work with the police in New Orleans. Believe it or not, they said, we're not working with them. They just tearing stuff up, hurting people for nothing. We going back to Texas.
So the Texas police wouldn't be part of it?
No, they well, a few of them. They said, "No, we're not going to do this." They just were so abusive. They just left. They didn't want to be report of it, be part of this. But one old woman, she come out. She had some food in a car. She's walking up the street with a bag of food. And they said, "You went to that grocery and got that food." They threw her out, handcuffed her. She was 70 years old, and arrested her. And I don't know where they brought her. And she said, "No, I got this from my car. I got food in my car. I got food." And they arrested her. But he listen, they were just, everybody was confused. Harry Lee, one thing in Metairie, he kept his people pretty straight. He was safer in Metairie than he was in New Orleans.
Now, let's expand on this now. The reason we recapped with you the horrible memories of what you witnessed, Charles, in New Orleans when you went to help people. Now you're thinking about going back from the town you're in nearby there, Charles. They're saying it's going to hit in the early morning hours.
Same hour, same day of Katrina, just about the same hour, about the same hour.
Amazing. And what are you hearing is on the ground there? You called in on the radio to say that your sources, well, you said it was on television, they've got troops on the streets, and they're not even saying where you'll go during an emergency.
Well, since I talked to you, I called the governor's office. Call the governor. We know somebody up there. They said, "Oh no, we ain't taking them to unauthorized vacation. It's going to be schools, and they're going to be." They said they're going to have hot food there, and they're going to be have people they could talk to. I don't know where they're going to take them at. I said, "Where are these places?" Well, I like to, in case I make. Well, we're going to announce it over the air. So I don't know, but if they take them to a FEMA camp, which we got them down here in Louisiana, they said they're very elaborate camps. I don't know. Our governor says this, but anyway, you imagine with nobody looking at you, what's going to happen? With nobody knowing where you at, if it happened right in front of our eyes in the Dome Stadium, this cruelty, what's going to happen if they take you to places that you don't know, nobody knows where you're at? Think about that.
Charles, I'm listening. Charles, any other points?
Well, it's just the idea, if people think if they're going to give their guns up, and you got to tell a man, you got the right to defend yourself. Something's wrong with your society. These people here mean these people no good. And look, Obama, if he sends these troops in here, they'll either just take these women, do whatever they want. It's going to be terrible. You know, people need to start praying, and men need to start being men, and they need to start supporting your show, and they need to start passing some tapes out. And I've said this for many years. Them tapes do it. The tapes do it. I walk up more people with the tapes than anything before. People still today say, "Thank you for that tape, and I gave them that 3 or 4 years ago."
That's right. There's been newspaper articles about you handing out thousands of copies of my films. And now people can do it digitally, forwarding this show, and they watch it later on YouTube and other channels. People can share their passcode to PrisonPlanet.tv with friends and family. People are hungry for the truth now. Who was worse back during Katrina? Was it the police or was it the gun-confiscating military?
I think... the police, they the ones broke their old woman's jaw. The military, they were just taking guns and putting guns in your face. It was about the same. They was all under the same orders.
Now, Stuart Rhodes identified units that refused to engage in gun confiscation. Did you ever hear anything about troops refusing to be part of this?
No, I have never heard it. Coming back, we got more details than going up there, you know what I mean? Because we had a bus to come back on it. Guy had a big party bus, and people that got the guns confiscated, now they would come back after they took the guns. They knew they couldn't stay in a house, so they would just come to Baton Rouge or wherever, try to get them closer if they wanted to. But once they gave up the guns, it was all over. I mean, people were just walking all over them. They just come in your house and just take what they want.
Yeah, let's be clear. The government, and that came out in the news as well, it's not just you saying it, they wouldn't go in the Ninth Ward where there were some pretty serious hombres with guns who would shoot at them and drive them out. They would go find the richest houses they could and loot them, rob them, and steal their guns.
Yeah, St. Charles Street is more, they really took their time going through them houses. They wouldn't be like going to a little beautiful house in St. Charles. They moved in them so fast. They just come in and move so fast, kick your door down, scream at the kids. They had actually had reports where children was wetting on themselves. They were so scared, Mr. Jones.
Well, I mean, look, you can't, it's a great excuse. TSA gets to grope your wife and kids, a bunch of pedophiles, troops and police led by FBI get to come and scream at your kids, take your guns. I mean, this is a real pleasure to do this in America. This is what it's all about.
But let me say this, please, and I'm a hard man, but I thank you for standing up for this country. I thank God for you many, many nights. Without you, and I'm just saying, this is how I see it. Without you, a lot of people wouldn't still be ignorant. But I'm asking the people, if they come get them guns and they take them from you, what I have seen, my God, you're digging a grave for yourself. Listen, Texas and all, they're going to stand against, a lot of people are going to stand here up against them. I can't let them rape my wife on the floor with some bayonet to my throat, you know what I mean? And I thank you for being who you are. I thank God for you, because there's not many men like you. And I wish that women would start praying for their men to stand up and do a little something. And I'm not trying to sell tapes. Buy a tape. Give it to your neighbor. Sit there with him and explain it. Get a radio. Invite your neighbor for coffee. Tune in at your program and sit there and have coffee and talk about this. That's how we will win this thing, through information. But the time is coming now. And I'm telling you, the time is coming now. We're going to be, before the election, I believe Obama's going to really put it on us.
Well, Charles, people that are watching this and listening to this now need to take this video and pay it forward, like you just said. No need to even buy the DVDs at InfoWarsShop.com, though that does support our media operation. But I want to be clear. You're the guy that had courage enough to go out there and try to save people. I'm somebody sitting here on the radio and TV, and I do take a risk. I do get demonized. But Charles, the greater risk is not resisting these people. So I want it to be clear. The minimum is to speak out. You've actually gone out there and physically done things. And we need to understand there is a battle for the heart and soul of the police and military. The New World Order would have taken over if all our police were like the police you had to, you know, witness doing this. The good news is there are a lot of police, but the Texas police shouldn't have just left. They could have citizens arrested the people that they saw doing this type of stuff.
It wasn't only Texas. It was other states, too, parts of Louisiana. They just would come in, and the police just kicked the doors in. And they said they couldn't they would tear stuff up, didn't need to tear up, talking bad to people. And they said, we can't work under these conditions. And it was on the news, I believe.
No, that was on the news. My point is, that's that struggle, good and evil, right where the rubber meets the road. That's where all of this, you know, basically happens. That's where the fight is. And so everybody out there just needs to do the right thing, speak out against evil, and evil won't be able to take over. It's this do whatever you're told mentality, and that, oh, authority, you know, is right no matter what. That's the opposite of what our country and freedom is based on. Charles, we'll talk to you tomorrow, hopefully.
I don't know if I'm going to be tomorrow, if I'm going down there or not. Our phones will probably be out. We're probably going to have, for a long time, our phones went out almost 10 days.
Well, I'm going to give you a hotline number. We're going to give you a hotline number right now for the radio and the TV, so that if you're on cell phone or last time you were able to get calls in, we want to know what's happening. Hopefully it won't make the levees break this time. Hopefully.
Well, they say the water is going to be 17, 18 inches, and you can seep under there. I don't think the levees are going to hold, to tell you the truth. And if they do break, you don't have the pumps to pump them out, the same as last time. And it's already flooding in some spots. It's already up to call grills and all cars are stopping. It's already flooding. I don't know what happened with the pumps. They ain't pumping the water, but they said it. What they said, honey? They could pump the water out in no time at all? But the $15 million, they only use $10 million of it. Some pumps ain't working.
Well, listen, Charles, We're going to get your we're going to get you the hotline number right now, and we'll continue to track this. We'll pray for everybody in Louisiana and surrounding areas with the new hurricane about to hit you. Sometime in the early morning hours, 7 years to the date, maybe even to the hour. This
maybe
sounds
almost to the hour, let's say, around 1 o'clock. But my wife told me to tell you, she prays for you every night and your family, and she loves you.
Well, we love you guys, too, and we love everybody that loves freedom. Charles, we'll talk to you again soon.
Give me that number, Don. I'll call.
All right, we'll put you on hold right now. Okay, that's it with Charles. We're going to go to break. Man, amazing this is happening. Isaac, now a Hurricane Army Corps, says New Orleans is ready. We're going to go to break and come back with the one, the only person out there that I know has covered a lot of really powerful issues that I even thought were off the chart crazy, but have actually come true, Steve Quayle. So Steve Quayle will be joining us on the other side to give us his perspective from his sources about the collapse. Can it be averted? The Iran war, the globalist funding Al-Qaeda. We'll talk about it all with Steve Quayle, syndicated radio talk show host, on the other side of this quick break. Stay with us. It's InfoWars Nightly News. Alex Jones here with a message that could revolutionize health in this country. Going back about a year and a half ago, I began to learn about the incredible health effects of longevity products. Aaron Dykes lost 92 pounds. We're going to show you some before and afters. Aaron, break down what happened, your story.
I've worked really hard with diet and exercise to try to lose weight, but I just didn't get the results. It just didn't happen. Then I saw what you were doing with InfoWarsTeam.com. I wasn't even trying to lose weight, but I got it because I wanted to feel better energy. I wanted that nutrition. Didn't even understand how that could kickstart my own weight loss goals, but the products did that for me. I found myself suddenly losing weight, more energetic, wanting to exercise, wanting to eat the right foods.
And they don't even advertise it as weight loss. I want to challenge our radio listeners to go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Sign up as a distributor and get wholesale pricing discounts at InfoWarsTeam.com. And we are back with the final extended segment interview with Steve Quayle. Now, I got to be honest with you. I remember about 15 years ago reading one of his books about genetic engineering and cross-species chimeras and how they were changing human DNA and how they already had human clones. And I thought, this guy's out there. Later, I actually checked the footnotes and found out it was actually even in mainstream news and in scientific journals that this stuff was going on. And he also, I remember, more than a decade ago, I guess you could say Steve Quayle kind of radicalized Alex Jones a little bit, and I'm saying that sarcastically. He'd say they got NORTHCOM being set up for martial law and gun confiscation, and they've got re-education camps. And I'm like, I know they got some FEMA camps, but re-education camps? And now it shows how far down the rat hole we've gone that as all this stuff comes out in the open, Steve Quayle is proven right about more and more. Which is frightening because if so much of what he's talked about is now admitted, I'm like, is the rest of it accurate? I mean, I know he's a good guy. It's just that none of us want to believe this. I know people that visit InfoWars.com and you know, they see news about Homeland Security doing secret testing. U.S. Code Title 50, Chapter 32, Subsection 1528, Paragraph B. Aaron covered it extensively earlier, and Dan Bidondi expand on it. That's where they say they can do lethal testing on us if it's for experimental research. Now, the government can't do testing on us just regularly, but if it's for research, it's okay. I mean, reality is so wild that Aaron Dykes heard me today talk about that on radio, and he said, let me see that code again. And he went and pulled it up at thomas.loc.gov, and he said, my God, it's true. It says they're barred from it, but then says unless it's for experiments. So the point is, truth is so much stranger than fiction. I'd hear Steve Quayle 15 years ago on, you know, places like Coast to Coast AM, and he'd say, they're putting cancer viruses in the vaccines. And I'd go, look, I know vaccines are bad for you, but come on. Turned out all that was true. So he's got a lot of military sources, a lot of sources in Northcom. You know, he's out there in that whole area around Colorado. And, you know, you could say maybe they're trying to feed him disinfo sometimes. Well, they try to feed us disinfo. So, you know, the question is, we're not saying either one of us is 100% right. But I know Steve Quayle is trying to get the truth out, and that's what I'm trying to do. And let's hope that if we look at really how bad things are or how bad they can get, that will cause an awakening that can back all of this off. But, hey, Steve Quayle deserves a lot of people's apologies out there, because Steve Quayle has laid out so many things. I mean, take Glenn Beck a few years ago saying that there are no FEMA camps when he knew full well there were. Now the FEMA camps are in the Emergency Centers Establishment Act. I'm ranting. I want to go to our guests. It's just that it's all there, the Civilian Inmate Labor Camp program. We'll put up some of these documents while he's talking, guys, the Army plan for reeducation camps. And you can link through to the Army's own PDF. They responded to us and said, yeah, that's ours. You shouldn't have that. Their declassification of training for mass gun confiscation, like in Katrina. I mean, we're in trouble. The admissions on the news that we've been conquered by international banks and world government is here. That's all over the news. I mean, it's amazing. Steve Quayle, I don't usually get you on. You hadn't been on in about a year. I don't usually get you on and, you know, toot your horn for 10 minutes before. But really, I wish you were wrong. I wish so much of what you talked about wasn't coming true. And I kind of dread to hear what you say is coming next. But first, let me ask you this question. Why do you think they're coming so out in the open right now? And then where do you see all this going?
Well, first of all, Alex, they're on record as stating they don't care anymore to keep it hidden. When they thank the media, obviously David Rockefeller's famous quote, you've quoted it, I've quoted it, that they wanted to thank the media. They now are so convinced that they've got it in the bag. They've got the legislation with National Defense Authorization, 1867. They've got the foreign troops. And let me put everybody in remembrance. 10 years ago, I was talking about the foreign troops that were being brought into this country, NATO troops, and being placed in different military bases and alongside our troops. When you started picking up, and I started picking up, a lot of the information about the Russians training here and 80 other nations training here, it started to dawn on people, most of the United States troops are out of country, and all these foreign troops are in country. Then when Hillary Clinton and Obama's regime came on board, and they started talking about the United Nations Small Arms Treaty that was going to disarm the United States citizens, most people would always argue about the fact that, well, U.S. citizens, or excuse me, U.S. military wouldn't fire on the U.S. citizens, and to a large degree that's true. But by placing our troops in harm's way, and we'll get to that, because the card that's going to be played out in both Iraq and Afghanistan is going to be our troops are going to be subjected to, once the Middle East thing starts, and Alex, you can take this one to the bank, I'll go on record as this, once we initiate, or the whole World War III scenario unfolds according to the globalist plan and blueprint, then our troops in Iraq and Afghanistan get hammered, and it will be a combination joint effort between Pakistan and Iran to destroy our troops. And guess what? Now we have NATO troops, which are here in the United States, ready to disarm. You've interviewed them. I've interviewed them. You put videos up on your website. I put videos up on my website.
And by the way, that's not even... I mean, it's worse than that. They're admitting they've got troops in NLE 09 and others for domestic operations. They are admitting they've got Russian troops for anti-terrorism. Yesterday, and I'm so conditioned, I don't even cover it. Guys, type in Russian planes to take part in anti-terror exercise over America. And who's the terror threat? Gun owners, conservatives, libertarians. It's all coming true.
Alex, the disturbing thing is that when the Russian sub was in the Gulf of Mexico, undetected, Alpha-class sub, what most people don't understand is the disarmament of the good guys in the military, and their displacement is taking place at a record or breakneck speed. Canada had a 5-day flyover for Russian bombers, nuclear bombers, to map the entire country and all their defense installations. So what most people don't understand, I've said this, rape, pillage, and plunder, the United States is going to be sawn asunder. And the point that you and I have trying to get people, or have spent 10 years, 20 years getting people to recognize, is this is now in play. 15 years ago, 20 years ago, Alex, it was warning and it was hard to swallow then. Now we've got Spetsnaz, and I laugh at people, Lunev, Viktor Suvorov, Vasily Matrokhin, some of the most famous defectors in the history of the United States, USSR, Cold War, have told us that when you see Spetsnaz troops in America, Stanislav Lunev said, then you know that you've got about 2 months left before all hell breaks loose. We've got fires breaking out, which is just called pink terror. Then they move to gray terror. We've got fires at nuclear sub-bases that they come up with hokey excuses that somebody got mad and set a fire. It's all BS. It's all pablum designed to throw us off track. We are now, and I don't know if you saw this, Alex, but now we've got the Russian generals going into NORAD. For most people, if they want to get a feel for what that's like basically having the hen house and asking the entire group of foxes that live in the entire country to show up just to see what's going on. The Russian defense establishment is in a place called Yamanatu Mountain. I think it's Y-A-M-A-N-A-T-A-U or something like that. That's, I guarantee you, we're not being reciprocated. So it is my contention that we are months away from a total takeover of this country. Foreign troops will be used to slaughter, my words, don't get mad at Alex for my statement, to take away the guns. And when they were geocoding and geopositioning all of our homes on GPSs, it was interesting, Alex. I live in a liberal neighborhood, and myself and two neighbors that are the only guys that hunt or have weapons in this neighborhood that I know of, everybody else has Obama stickers, basically we're the only ones that received the door-to-door, if you will, GPSing of our front doors.
And let me stop you, because this is amazing. I'm glad you just raised this. You were on my show 2 years ago during the census, 2010, but that was going to be every 10 years. Now it's every year. And they've got these expanded ones where they ask how many guns you got, what type of toilets, what type of bank accounts. And I remember you saying, this is to mark GPS for weaponized drones. And people went ape over that. And the Comedy Central played a clip of it, of you on my show. And it was real funny. And then since then, they now admit they're arming the drones and using the GPS data. And the police in Texas said, we're using the GPS data from the census to mark suspects' front doors for drones. Didn't somebody tell you a source that's how you knew that? Or did you just figure that out?
No. I was told that by a certain four-star. Let's just say this, when I was really pretty well connected to the world of special operations, a certain general who was a good guy told me what a certain general who was a bad guy saying, they can't wait to send a Hellfire missile through my front door. Actually, they were a little more crude than that, Alex. They said they can't wait to, you know, shove it up my you-know-what. So the point is that it became apparent to me that with the GPSing and putting two and two together and what I was told, that these guys are serious. Remember when you and I did a show, too, we talked about all of the tactics learned in Iraq and Afghanistan, and even when they were building U.S. cities and claiming it was for training them for the Middle East, you and I both went public and said, hey, Middle East cities and Middle East towns don't look like this. They're training for something. So when they talk about 30,000 drones coming online in a couple of years, they're already there. When they talk about Hellfire missiles, one general told me they have so many Hellfire missiles that basically it's hard to keep them in tow. So I fortunately, Alex, or unfortunately, about 2 weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, had a predator over me at less than 100 feet. I was at the car wash, and I know what a predator looks like. And it's kind of funny because, you know, we had the story breaking that the Air Force is teaching their drone pilots how to basically track people or people of interest. So I guess, you know, until you've had a predator over you, and I thank God, and I want to thank God for the people that are praying for your safety, Alex, and my safety, those intercessors who take God and believe in the power of prayer, because, look, you and I both know that we've talked and openly, we haven't hit it. and the people that will listen to this broadcast in real time, there are times when you and I would go on the talk shows, and I could tell by, you know, just how many people are listening through my site, or especially on Coast to Coast. You know, when you've got 40,000 federal computers coming in from every intelligence agency and every department of the military, somebody's interested in what you're saying.
Well, that's right. If we were such kooks, as all this now comes true, they wouldn't be listening. And like you said, sometimes we have, well, we have about a million people visiting InfoWars every day, but sometimes it'll be tens of thousands of government computers from highly classified domain names, highly classified IP addresses, the geospatial, the CIA, the NSA. They are listening and listening hard. Their eyes are on us. For a reason, because a lot of people in the government are actually patriots, and they know what's going on, and a lot of them are assigned to be listening to us, but I think that backfires on them, because now the craziness of all this beginning to come true is sinking in out there with people. But you mentioned drones right up there in North Dakota. Third time the cows have come on the family's property, you know, under common law, you take them after that. Now, they call them rustlers, call in an Air Force Homeland Security drone with the police. They're now announcing they're using them on us. Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily, drone over his house while he's walking the dog, a police drone. I'm driving into work, see a drone flying over the highway just 3 weeks ago. They've done FOIA requests and found out Homeland Security is watching our site constantly and is very concerned about what we're doing. So this is a foreign globalist takeover. What do you make of the bankers? And then I want to get into your sources and time frames and how they could try to stage this. And in your view, can we avert what's happening? But why do you think they're on TV, CNBC, C-SPAN, hundreds of financial publications saying, yes, global government has taken over and America's been conquered? They use that term, that they've conquered us and that we're, quote, slaves. Are they trying to just get us acclimated, just like military drills in every city, TSA, giant black armored vehicles showing up everywhere, TSA at high school football games? I mean, I guess they're just getting us ready for martial law. What's happening?
Well, it's not only that they're getting us ready for martial law. Again, Alex, when the red list, blue list, green list came out, it was from a gentleman who's dead now. He was murdered for the information. He was with the Environmental Protection Agency. And what he told me in plain terms were, Steve, when this thing comes down, now remember, I started talking about this 10 years ago. It was only when the people started to realize that, hey, there's a lot of foreign troops and stuff going on, and what's with all the issues we've talked about. Alex, they are not coming to arrest people. The camps, they are coming to, and if you know the background of some of the writers, and you've talked about it on your show, that basically Ayers and others that the current administration listens to, they are talking and have talked for a decade that's necessary for 30 to 50 million people to die. My friend Gary, who gave me the information before he was murdered, said, Steve, the red list at that time was 30 million people. My general friends in special operations told me almost, probably 7 years ago, that at that time, Alex, there were 425,000 NATO troops in the United States stationed in a lot of the military bases that had been closed down by George Bush Sr. And if you remember,
well, that's what's coming out. They've brought them in under NATO and put them in plain clothes with cover jobs as well. The bankers have done an infiltration op with sleeper cells all over the U.S., and that's begun to come out as well. Just like right. They're using... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you're right, and forgive me, because I know I get excited on this. The bankers are the controllers of the world. Jesus said the love of money is the root of all evil. My statement following up just in kind of making it easy, the control of money is the control of all evil. These are nothing more than mercenary forces designed to rape, pillage, and plunder. The United States has sold off our technology. We've sold off a lot of our water sources. I.e. Jesse Ventura did one of his series on one of the Great Lakes that was sold to the Swiss, and they have claims to all the water. Again, Alex, we are being pillaged and plundered. $17 trillion was stolen from the American middle class. Now, every day, I must post at least a half a dozen articles of how the middle class is dying and there's no money and people can't feed themselves. Ladies and gentlemen, $17 trillion was stolen by the biggest investment bank in the country, and nobody goes to jail. And absolutely, Corzine gets busted with MF Global and then PFG Best, and nobody goes to jail. And yet, you've got a prison system that has more people probably innocent or small minor crimes in prison because it's big business. Alex, what they're going to do, the bankers are going to initiate the destruction of the U.S. dollar and the euro. They're going to bring on a global currency, and that global currency, the entrance into it and requirement to be able to do commerce in the globalist new world order is the mark of the beast, what the Bible talks about, that no man can buy or sell, save he takes a mark.
And now, suddenly, they have in Texas, Department of Defense, in fact, pull this up or new viewers won't believe it, because when I first heard it, I didn't believe it. San Antonio, Dallas, you name it, they have Department of Defense funded program with cameras that watch how much food the kids eat to analyze, and they've got cameras, AI watching them in the schools, hooked into the Department of Defense to study behavior and stuff. They're now getting ready to face scan with a digital photo to buy and sell. You won't get discounts unless you face scan. It's called face deals with Facebook, which they admit is Pentagon run. They are rolling out everywhere the cashless society, shutting down swap meets, shutting down garage sales, Amish, lemonade sales. $2 million school cafeteria camera study creates controversy, and it goes on as Department of Defense, running the whole thing. Here in Austin, they make now the kids wear GPS around their necks. I mean, it's all here. It is so diabolical. And the government, I think this is a big deal, in Alabama, California, and other places, are now giving little kids vaccines without parental consent. I mean, that is so illegal, but they just do it. I mean, the government is really moving faster now. And so we've had this soft takeover. You say they're getting closer to a hard takeover.
Right, and I would encourage everybody to go on Doug Hagman's site, because his source, which I know he's talked to you about, Alex, on the air, his source, Rosebud, has told him it's going hot. I think he just told him that in the last 24 hours. Now, it's going hot means that a manufactured series of events is going to take place, and they're going to portray that the white gun owners in America are terrorists, and that's what they're going to do. They're going to initiate, which they've already done in their failed attempts at, the shootings in Colorado and stuff, and even being called, Alex. I was called through a cutout by a district attorney in another county saying they knew that there were multiple shooters, and they knew there were two military and two, local, if you will, law enforcement involved in the shooting, not stopping it, but actually involved in the shooting. So right now they're getting ready, and I got to make this clear, brother. I go on with you. I know this. This may be the last time, God forbid, that you and I ever talk, but I'm telling you, they are getting ready to pull the plug. Pull the plug on people means once they initiate this, whatever the event is, everything's in place. How about this, Alex? I don't know if you've heard this yet. I just posted this as an alert on my website, stevequayle.com. And by the way, I've gone to 24/7, okay? Yeah, I mean, in the old days, I had a webmaster. Now I'm able to post my own stuff. And since I don't sleep, I drag the most important stories, put them in there, and then, we update my website 24/7. But here, this is today's posting. May I read this to you? Because it'll blow your mind.
Yes, please.
Steve, I wanted to let you know about a very strange thing I witnessed last night around 7 p.m. on Highway 2 just outside of Kalispell, Montana. Heading west on Highway 2, we approached what we thought was an accident. Fire trucks, a sign that said accident ahead, and firemen with signs saying slow. The fire trucks were blocking the right lane, which made you have to go around them, and then you followed directions, which placed you in front of two officers holding digital face recognition cameras. I recognize the camera, Steve, from when I had to go to Homeland Security for my TWIC card in Florida. There was no accident. There were big black vans of Montana State Police cars with Department of Justice below the Montana State Police sign. They were not stopping people. They were just taking their photos. And he says, may God bless us and help us all.
Well, that's right. They're getting, that's admitted. They're now putting veterans in these gang databases. And they will, off face scanning cameras on the street, get your face scan if they don't have an up-to-date one to put in the database. So they want it to attach it to your license plate so that they can create an integrated computer program. They've got license plate readers on the police cars now. I mean, don't the police understand that this technology is for the globalists to enslave us and that they are collaborators now when they're part of this unconstitutional stuff with the globalists who are as evil as it gets?
I think that they haven't made the connection. Now, let me tell you what the blue list is. The blue list are all the police and the military that cooperate for the first 30 to 60 days of the slaughter, okay? And then when they are done going along with the plan of the globalists and the different assassins, which are assigned to each police department, sheriff department, and unit in the military, take over. Now, Alex, when we talk about Spetsnaz is Russian Special Forces. They're trained primarily for just general mayhem, assassination, explosions, if you will. They're the fifth column operatives that go in and start taking people out and stuff. So it's kind of ironic. We're fighting with the Soviet Union. You saw the statement that Obama leaned over to Medvedev and said, wait until my second term. Tell Vladimir that, you know, I'll have more flexibility. And Medvedev said, I'll take it to Vladimir. The point that's critically crucial and time sensitive for people to understand is the very positioning of the special forces, the Russian special forces, is indicative of the blue list takeout. Alex, I plead with law enforcement. I'll plead with those that will listen to this show. I plead with those who are in the three-letter agencies. You don't know what they've got planned for you after you go along with it. That's why they're going to sequester their families of law enforcement and of military and keep their families ultimately as a hostage.
Well, that happens every time. The Soviets did that. Hitler did that with Night of the Long Knives. But the point is, how do you then look at George Soros and the globalists trying to overthrow Putin with all their groups? Because I see it as the globalists above all countries playing nations off against each other, even while they use the other nation against the domestic population.
Well, first of all, Vladimir Putin is on record as having talked to the premier of China that they, meaning China and Russia, are going to contest the Western, if you will, globalists. It's why China, obviously, is even, as of 2 days ago, was talking about backing their yuan, their currency, with gold. And I think, and that's mainstream now, Alex. It's one thing when I said it 10 years ago. It's another thing when people see it in the headlines. You know it. And I think that the point that people have got to understand is this, is that you've got factions in the Illuminati, that everybody wants to be the top dog. Nobody wants to be second to the top dog.
Sure, the globalists are outside the nation states playing them off against each other. But
absolutely.
People don't understand that. It's not like the elite controlled Hitler. They psychologically profiled him. They wrote books about it. Put him in power, gave him money, and then set him up. He'd been told he was going to be able to take over. Same thing with Saddam. Same thing with bin Laden. Same thing with all these boogeymen. They're wind-up toys.
Absolutely. And let me share this. It takes money for terrorism. It takes money for everything. And that's why the situation is becoming so out of hand. But it's also in your face. It's in my face, Alex. It's in your listener and viewers' faces. They don't care anymore. So basically, what's the time frame? I think that's critical. Obama, and according to Doug Hagman's source at Rosebud, and then I got a call before I even saw that Doug had posted his story from a friend of mine in Colorado who stated that one DHS high-ranking guy and one military guy took their phone batteries out and went for a walk. And basically the name of the conversation was, the stuff is going to hit the fan in the next 60 days. Now, could it be prolonged? Absolutely. Setting dates is dangerous. But let me share this. The entire Spetsnaz doctrine, of which Luniev, who was not taken seriously by the Western press when he wrote his book and when everybody interviewed him, the bottom line is it's going exactly like he said. The secrets of the KGB archivists, Vitaly Matrokin, absolutely the same thing. Victor Suvorov.
No, I remember that, and I remember 15, 16 years ago reading that stuff that had come out a decade before and thinking, this is just ridiculous. You know, stuff like Red Dawn and all this. But when you understand that the globalists have basically gotten all their operatives in, they're going to sell foreigners coming over here during civil unrest. I mean, I remember 2 years ago, there was the headline, even the Washington Post and other publications, Toronto Star, you know, Congress wants to know about deals the Pentagon has with foreign troops during emergency. And we see U.S. troops in Canada for the Olympics. And we see Mexican and Canadian troops here saying, yes, they're going to help fight terrorists. And then we see the new Army report out, which they're defending, which has been given to the Joint Chiefs, saying the Tea Party is going to link up with Al-Qaeda. I mean, who would ever believe that? Well, when they stage terror attacks and blame it on us, that's how this is going to happen. And sure, somebody who's informed will know it's bull, but the average couch potato is going to buy it. What do you make of all of these preparations to demonize gun owners, conservatives, libertarians? We've been told it's not Al-Qaeda now, it's the gun owners, the libertarians, the white Al-Qaeda. I mean, totally racial. White people are terrorists, they work with Al-Qaeda. I mean, it's so over the top ridiculous.
One of the most in-your-face offensive plans of the Soviet Union prior to their complete takeover of the United States, by the way, and remember Khrushchev said they'd do it, my statement is it's being done right now before everyone's eyes, is to cause a race war and a race riot. The demonization of the white, and let's make it clear, when Rob was arrested, you know, he made it his faith in Jesus stand. And unless people understand that in the world of law enforcement and the military now, Islam is good, Christianity is bad, okay? The vilification of Christians is the same as the vilification of gun owners, the same vilification as white. It's those white people's fault, and it's not. It is the Illuminati plan. It's Albert Pike's morals and dogma. It's playing out right like, you know, the Third World War and the contested letter from Mazzini to Albert Pike, you know, basically said they're going to turn the Christians against the Mohammedans, the atheists against the believers, and when everybody's killed off everybody, this is the bottom line, then they're ready for the pure doctrine of Lucifer. Alex, what I've been trying to tell people for the last 20 years on talk radio, there is a supernatural element to this thing, and you know, again, I remember that your ability to, or your desire to know this stuff, you wanted to always have documentation, which is good. But now you've got documentation of some of the weirdest crap in the universe taking place, and people are being trained to just accept the perverse, the insane, and the macabre as being normal. For instance, beheading people, cannibalism, all of the strange zombieism. And for the record, the zombie essay that I put out on my website, which is the most definitive thing, Sue Bradley, one of the most famous researchers in the country. She used to be the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, Admiral Thomas Moore's personal research assistant. She put out all of the zombie stuff. Let me make it clear to everybody who a zombie is. To the elite, to the Illuminous, the zombies are all those who are left above ground when all of the manufactured and the genetically altered viruses and all the mayhem is released.
So they're creating a racial memory in humans that we're all going to die, accepted. All these shows on Discovery and History about the world after humans, how beautiful it's going to be. They're pretty much just selling us on their religion that we're scum. And I have no doubt that they've been caught, you know, soft killing us. Let me bring this up. What about the Middle East, where they now admit in the L.A. Times, the New York Times, everywhere, that the CIA, MI6, and others are, from the beginning, funding al-Qaeda to bring down Gaddafi, who I'm no fan of, but he was working with the West, get rid of him, set him up, mayhem, line up, 40,000 black people, kill him. I mean, it's hell on earth. And now going in to kill the Christians, Jews, and some of the Muslim minority groups to get rid of Assad. I mean, it is out in the open where the New York Times shows video, along with BBC, like it's good of them torturing people and then strapping them in cars to make them be suicide bombers or threatening to kill people's families if they don't. And this is Al-Qaeda. And the CFR came out a month ago and said, we need Al-Qaeda. The quote was, we need Al-Qaeda, and said they were good. So the TSA needs to grope me and my family to find out bin Laden in my pants. But Al-Qaeda's good. I mean, it just, none of it even makes sense.
Yeah, I think it does. It's a redefinition of terms, and I told this equation. Let me, and you'll pick this up really quick. They identify, they vilify, they nullify, they destroy. Who are they nullifying right now? White Christian gun owners, okay? Destroy. Well, when all the troops come, they've already got the homes, and look, I categorically reject the argument that there are 300 million guns in this country and they never dare do it. Listen, they know who's got what guns. They don't know every gun, but they do know that, and those who have been GPS, of which I'm one, and, you know, based on what you said, you may be one, but those who become, if you will, problematic to them are the ones that are trying to tell the truth. Remember the old statement? An age of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. So now the thing is that the redefinition of who the bad people are. Listen, I had an FBI agent, a special agent in charge in Bozeman, Montana, who quit the department because he was a Christian, and they said, you know, basically to him, Christians bad, Muslims good. The whole idea of this war between Islam and Christianity, look at how it comes on the scene basically as an offshoot of the United States backing the Mujahideen in Afghanistan against Russia. Well, the point is that the entire fraud of 9/11, but Alex, the whole country is basically super saturated in lies. That's why Jeremiah the prophet cried out. He said, woe unto them who call good evil and evil good, where up is down and down is up, and right is left and left is right. The point is this is the classic, and I use the word with no apologies, communist takeover, and it's going exactly by the book, like Bill Ayers and all the other Weather Underground writers we're talking about openly in those days. And unfortunately, Jeremiah Wright, and what was Obama going to do? Wasn't Rahm Emanuel the one that was calling on Farrakhan, Nation of Islam, to help restore order in Chicago? Good night. And so what we're talking about is and I want to bring this up. All of the ammunition that we see being purchased, you know, and even the NRA and ILA are trying to make excuses, oh, it doesn't trouble us. Well, the caliber should be a tip-off. I believe it was your InfoWars article that I linked to. What was it, a year ago, Alex, where it showed all the little kids in their black T-shirts holding MP5 H&K submachine guns?
Yeah, that was in the New York Times. They said, said the Explorer Scouts are trying to take on disgruntled veterans. And it showed photos of the dead veteran in the mock shootout. And then I confirmed the ROTC for at least 15 years trains to fight one enemy and one enemy alone. They take them out to fields, the officer candidates, and they train to fight militias and role players wearing John Deere hats, dressed up like Elmer Fudd. So the whole threat structure has always been about Americans that are libertarian, constitutional Christians. And I told people, I said, this is a bait and switch. They run Al-Qaeda. They've staged this so that we'll launch all these wars to sap and bankrupt the country. Then they're going to flip the script on us. And that's what I wanted to raise. There's so many points. I mean, I can't even. 1.4 billion. It's not 750 million and 250 million. It's 1.4 billion plus in the last year since last fall that they've bought. 1.4 billion and millions of new rounds a day being bought. Every agency, Department of Education, riot shotguns, people that aren't even sworn officers, armored vehicles digging in, food supplies. I talked to the big gunshot distributors. They say the police are lined up around the block. Government's arming, totally crazy, gearing up to fight the American people. There's no doubt they're gearing up for this. My question is, what will precipitate it? The economic collapse, an Iran war? What are your sources telling you? And are there any ways to back this off?
Yes, my sources, which are high-ranking international bankers and military, both former and former intel people, are all saying the same thing. And one even said this to get me a message. Tell Steve everything else is basically camouflage. Everything we are focusing on right now, and Doug Hagen was told this too, is the financial, the orchestrated financial collapse. Can I spell it out for people what an orchestrated financial collapse means in their world? I told people, Alex, before it appeared on the front of Drudge, that my sources had stated that there's going to be a cyber attack on the banks in the United States, okay? And that whole lie of 75 million, then they upped it to 250 million, whatever. My sources, who are the people that are connected with the people that monitor those type transactions on a worldwide basis, claim that in that short period of time, well, Drudge was saying that was 150 million or 75 initially, that it was in the hundreds of billions. So here's what's going to happen. Here's how I'm told it's going to play out. Okay. Now remember, when any operation gets exposed, they can change, modify, they can alter. So one of the good things, and you and I saw it happen, you remember when the whole world was ready to go to basically a fourth level biohazard?
Yes.
And we prayed, Alex, and you let me pray on your show, and the people who are listening to us prayed. That went from being ready to be implemented in 24 hours to completely dying the very next day. You remember that?
Yes.
That was the greatest, in my opinion, the greatest manifestation of God's love and intervention and caring for his creation, because they were all set to go. We're told we're going under martial law. That's when I came up with a statement quoted on your show, shot in the arm, shot in the head, either way you end up dead. We saw that happen. Now I'm being told that you'll go to sleep on a Friday night. Between Friday and instantly between the times that the overnight hot money changes hands, there will be an orchestrated cyber attack on the major banks of the world. Let's say you and I and 10,000 of our listeners all have our accounts in called Happy Go Lucky Bank. And Happy Go Lucky Bank obviously has its internal that Alex, you know, has 1,000, Steve has 1,000 or whatever. The point is that the entire income stream in the account of Happy Go Lucky Bank is going to be attacked. Concurrent with that is all ATM machines will shut down and that all credit cards will be stopped. Now, this is what I'm being told by some of the highest ranking people and most well-placed people. When it comes to the Monday morning and everybody starts to scream, that will give them a platform, them, the Illuminati, the globalists, the current members of the ruling dictatorship in this country, United States, and the military. That's when they kick into high gear. They'll claim it was a foreign nation, blame it on somebody other than them, and in essence, they're going to create the problem, they're going to provide the solution, and in providing the solution, they're going to prove once again that the Hegelian dialectic is, when you create a problem, you provide the solution, your answer always brings about your desired result. So that's what I'm told is going to do that. I'm also told that concurrent with that will be an exchange in the Middle East. I said, well, it'll be a day, an hour. They said, that's flexible, but you expect it all to go down because the international bankers will have done two things, Alex. They will have plundered the entire United States savings and financial resources. Understand, it's just computer entries, and they will have succeeded in drawing the attention away from them. Remember this. The head of banking, I think it was Rothschild himself, Anschel said, or one of the Rothschilds said, we make more in one day of war than an entire year of peace.
No, that's it. And that's why they're also famous for funding all sides of the conflict.
Absolutely.
So they debilitate both sides. This is full spectrum dominance. Here's the issue. All of this stuff is out in the open. There's massive preparations for total bedlam. We would be insane to not be looking at this and talking about it. But the PSYOPs officers, and I've talked to some of them who are retired and some of them that have gotten out, have said that they're always there trying to discredit people that are trying to wake people up out of their trance. Government's too big. It's out of control. It's stomping our liberties. The NSA admits it's spying on us without warrants while protecting Al-Qaeda. The government's doing Fast and Furious. It's criminal. So bare minimum, it's good to be concerned about government, as our forebears, our founders said. Anybody that says we're the bad guys for talking about this in mainstream media or in a position of power is an operative or is being handled by one. Our enemy is apathy. Apathy, as one caller to my show said, is treason. And undoubtedly, the fact that you and many others are out there and our listeners and viewers are out there has been what has been holding this back. Zbigniew Brzezinski said it 2 years ago, that their whole program's in trouble, humanity's awakening. He wrote a book this year where he talks about the five big things facing the elite. Number one, he says, is the awakening. So they've got to, before their new world order was behind, now they've got to accelerate it because they're going to lose it if they don't. So they're so arrogant, they admit what's going on like we're not reading it. I mean, because their whole attack is tailored towards unconscious people.
And they're working overtime with the electronic mind control. This is MK Ultra on steroids, okay? They have numbed and dumbed. The first thing everyone has to do is turn off the network news. Good night. You and I and others who have spent, you know, our lives and our fortunes, meaning all that we've done to try and warn people and get people to wake up, they have got to understand that within the media of mainstream network news, that is the control function. Imagine this, Alex. Imagine having, 100,000 volts, or let's use amps, wired into your skull. They have numbed and dumbed us down. They have given us the opiate of entertainment. So the thing is, when you're producing your videos, when you're out doing what you're doing, when I'm out screaming on coast to coast, when we're both doing everything within our power, it's when people turn off the TV and start to search out a thing. Remember my favorite line, and I still use it, is, look, I've done my homework. Don't tell me weather modifications are real. I wrote a book out of it with 400 footnotes. Don't tell me that chemtrails aren't real. Remember when I broke the story of chemtrails, even before Thomas and all those other guys got on board? And and it's amazing to me that still people want to debate whether chemtrails are real or
even
not.
Even when the government is admitting that they've got secret programs, it's all done under national security. That's the opposite of national security. It's the umbrella of secrecy with our tax money that the globalists use to totally take over society. I want to play that clip of Mr. Grafwald, the infiltrator of the Weather Underground, who were later convicted of this, where they openly talk about killing 25 million of us, that 50 million would have to go to the re-education camps, and half of us would have to be killed. These are the people he's in the meeting with that raised Obama and that he lived with, and now we have the Army manual where they're training him for re-education camps in America. The nightmare is coming true. It's happening, and denying it will only let them take over. Here it is.
I brought up the subject of what's going to happen after we take over the government. We become responsible then for administrating, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States. They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest, where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill. 25 million people. I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. And I've interviewed him recently, gentleman that broke that down, and that all came out in court as well. Your comments on that, Steve Quayle?
Well, it goes along with everything we know, everything they're trained for. And by the way, when he said that, the difference is now they're talking, Alex, they have to get rid of 50 to 75 million. Get rid of, and I want people to understand this. Once this comes down, the knock on the door isn't coming to say, oh, will you please surrender your guns and have a nice day and go back and watch whatever mindless show. They're not only coming to take you away and blow you away, but to steal your stuff. One of Hawk was listening in on a recorded message of a Canadian military, high-ranking Canadian military general, who was openly laughing about the Americans going to be pillaged. Look, if you take 30 to 50 million Americans and you basically waste them away, take them away or blow them away, they got a lot of stuff. That's the payment that has been promised to all the troops, okay? The plunder, if you will. Everything that they're going to take, it doesn't matter if you got a nice SUV or whatever, that becomes plunder to the people that are taking over this nation. This is something that, and when that thing was let known in real time, it sent shockwaves through the intelligence community. Even the, you know, a pretty high ranking general got bawled out for making that statement in the open. But you see, I believe God is warning us. And I want to bring that whole issue up right now because listen, we are being destroyed for lack of knowledge. Mainstream media is the message. It is the madness. It is a mind control. So when you go out and I go out and we do everything we can to warn as many people as we can, apathy, indifference, laziness, and right now, Alex, so few people will stand up. God bless those who do speak up. The bottom line is that they're going to be confronted with overwhelming forces. Let's face it. You and I can't outrun a Hellfire missile with a, you know, an attack helicopter.
I hear you. Listen, you mentioned this. I know it's coming up on your radio show this evening, so we'll give people all the times for that. It's also re-aired. But you talked about Mr. Hagman. We're going to go to break here and get him on with you with that breaking news from his source that has been breaking down the fact that they're being told all hell's going to break loose in October or November, late October, early November. I've had police call in when they had tanks rolling around St. Louis. And police I later talked to off air and confirmed they were police that had been told the hammer will be dropped in early November as the October surprise. We've seen in the news they're preparing for civil unrest. I'm not saying it's 100% going to happen because we can get a reprieve or we can expose it and back them off. Because if the globalists gauge that they can't pull this off and then pose as the saviors, they may back off. But they may have also put things in motion that they can't stop. I want to get your take on that. But as we get ready to go to Mr. Hagman to give us an update and to get your comments, Steve, in closing, here is a clip of that county judge for folks outside Texas. That's the mayor of the county out in Lubbock, Texas, pretty big town, city, saying they're not going to go along with U.N. troops and world government and that he needs more deputies to fight the U.N. Well, the problem is, it's going to be our military mixed in with the U.N., our military that will follow orders from what I've seen. Here's that clip, and we'll get your take on that and then go to Mr. Hagman. Here it is.
To try to hand over the sovereignty of the United States to the U.N.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what's going to happen when that happens?
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking worst case scenario.
Right, okay? I understand.
Civil unrest, civil disobedience, civil war, maybe. I mean, we're not talking just a few riots here and demonstrations. We're mm-hmm. talking... We're talking Lexington, Concord, take up arms and get rid of the guy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, what's going to happen if we do that, if mm-hmm. the public decides to do that?
Mm-hmm.
He's going to send in U.N. troops. I don't want them in Lubbock County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to stand in front of their armored personnel carriers and say, you're not coming in here.
Mm-hmm.
And the sheriff, I've already asked him, I said, you going to back me? He said, yeah, I'll back you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't want a bunch of rookies back there.
True.
I want trained, equipped.
That's good. The full clip is on Fox 34 out of Lubbock. By the way, where Marcos used to work, one of our great crew members, he moved from Lubbock here to be with us. Now, Steve, we're going to get Doug Hagman on here in just a moment with the breaking news he's got from his source that you were kind enough to inform us of, that it had just broken over at their site. You've got links to that at stevequayle.com. It's up there at the Northeast Intelligence Network website as well. We're going to go to that here in just a moment. But, Steve Quayle, what did you make of the clip that we just played and the big national news of that county judge saying we're not going to put up with a globalist takeover?
Well, first of all, I think he's probably one of the most outspoken, honest men in the country. Thank God that he's a man and absolutely stood for what he believes and is standing up for what he believes. And I got to tell you, every single person that listens to you, Alex, and listens to me and listens to Doug has got to adopt that attitude that we go for broke because my prayer is, look, we can't stop these guys totally, but we can raise the awareness of those in the military and the law enforcement and understand that they're going to be killed, murdered by the same group of people that are trying to get them to murder us. And so I would say this, anybody who uses a statement that you're just following orders or that you're just basically doing what you're commanded to do, that's called the Nuremberg non-defense. It didn't work for Hitler. It won't work for
That's
you.
Right. Don't be a collaborator. Now, Doug Hagman, the Northeast Intelligence Network, private investigator, advises police, frequent guest on talk shows across the country, frequent guest here. He has some of his Homeland Security sources, as we do. We've broken a lot of... national news over the years, as everyone knows, with MIAC and Homeland Security Reports and countless others. So as far as I'm concerned, this is a good source Doug has. Now, it doesn't mean the source isn't being fed disinfo, because they can say it's all coming down, and then they back off. But you can see all the preparations. They didn't buy a billion-plus bullets to play tiddlywinks. They're not buying armored vehicles, all of this stuff for nothing. And Steve was telling us tonight on his radio show, you can find out more at stevequayle.com, also on their nightly show, the Northeast Intelligence Network. They're going to be breaking all this down together. But to give us a quick breaking peek at what the source is saying is Doug Hagman. So I'm going to turn back and talk to him, joining us on quick notice via Skype. Doug, I know you got to go quick here, but tell us what's breaking over there on your site.
Well, Alex, as you said, the bottom line here is I've got a source from the DHS that said it's going hot, meaning the plans that they have in place have been approved at the highest levels of the White House. These are orders, plans, orchestrated stage events coming from the White House and being coordinated with Janet Napolitano. Now, this is from, according to my source, Valerie Jarrett and someone else that's involved in the higher echelon, the closest circle of the president. Now, what it is, when I say it's going hot or when my source says it's going hot, is a stage event of some kind or some sort of false flag type of event to garner sympathy, to garner support for the president who's maybe lagging in the polls, who might be in fear of having to vacate the Oval Office in November. They would institute a plan. Now, they've got a couple of different plans, according to my source, and they change them with events, just like we saw with the hurricane, with Biden. Okay, there was some talk about, in fact, in the I believe other people have talked about perhaps a false flag or stage event with Biden because they couldn't figure out where Biden fit into things. Well, according to my sources, look, they've got contingency plans upon contingency plans, and that was one of them, okay? So the bottom line here, I guess the real news is this. According to my source, they want to go ahead. When I say they, I'm talking about the Valerie Jarretts, the labor leaders, the people who benefit most by Obama being in office and who want to see another 4 years of fundamental transformation of this country. It's them who are saying, look, let's ensure his re-election. If we can't ensure his re-election through votes, then we're going to ensure it through controlling the opposition, controlling the voting process, and even perhaps suspending the elections, which is incredible. I know it's Looney Tunes talk, but...
But it's not Looney Tunes talk. We had all those White House advisors, the Financial Times of London, their fundraisers saying, don't worry if he gets down on the polls. There'll be an event... A new Oklahoma City or 9/11 will blame on the Tea Party, will blame on Alex Jones, Glenn Beck. I mean, that was all said, and you're saying your source says, I mean, they did Fast and Furious, so they could be capable of doing anything. That's why we have to look at this, and that's why this is such big breaking news. Continue to elaborate on this, then we'll learn more tonight when you guys break this down with Steve Quayle, but I want to get Steve's take on this. What else did your source say?
Well, to expect this, it's going to depend on a series of, or it's going to depend on how things work out or how things play out. But one of the things is to expect it when you least expect it, and this is something I didn't publish, and also to whatever it is going to be, it's going to galvanize, it's going to polarize, I should say, various aspects of our country, the rich versus the poor, the black versus the white. I mean, it's going to cover a gambit of things. That's what my source is saying.
Well, you notice the White House got caught sending in agitators of the Trayvon Martin deal, but people were too smart on all the sides to take the bait. They are really trying to get us fighting with each other.
Well, and I think, and to your credit and to Steve's credit, to people who are speaking out against this, and you had mentioned earlier, what if this is just nothing more than a disinformation campaign? I thought of that. It could very well be. And if that is the case, then so be it. How do you tell? I don't know. But the fact is, I've known this guy for a quarter century. Look, he's given me a lot of information in the past, and he said these people are very serious. These people want. I mean, look, it's going. This is right now the start of what could very well be a dramatic change in America itself.
Well, the globalists are running around like it's the end of the world, digging in everywhere, arming themselves, and they know they've got to get this collectivized New World Order in. But, I mean, Romney's not much different than Obama. I don't know why they don't let that just coast in. But there are those Chicago Mafia criminal elements that are so virulent that they may want to keep that particular management team in place. We know there's fights within the whole New World Order system. Source in DHS, do they say anything about, I'm just throwing out questions I would ask, about other people in DHS? I mean, is there anything they won't go along with? I mean, obviously they're concerned if they're telling you stuff, they're telling me stuff. We get, a lot of breaking news as well. I mean, the word I get is that police and military and even feds, even though they've tried to pick bad people, are just totally freaking out right now because everything that the conspiracy theorists talked about is coming true.
Now, which is true. Your information is accurate, and I know you've got some fantastic sources. The rank and file of DHS, of the law enforcement agencies that are involved in DHS, in fact, they're fed up. They are freaked out, for lack of a better descriptive term. But in particular, one thing that really got to me was the fact that we all recall the sexual component to the Napolitano staff picks.
Lesbian parties.
Exactly. That, they almost, according to my source, they almost lost control of this information, of the compartmentalization of the information, because it was during one of those situations, let's just say, that there was something said, and it was done in such a fashion where there, in fact, they're very adept at using sexual perversions for blackmail, and that's why they're bringing these people in. I mean, look, blackmail is blackmail, and of course, if you're
they want to bring in mentally defective people. That, I mean, it's one thing to have those sexual persuasions, but just the domination, the craziness, the wildness of these souped up, hyper male. I mean, these women take testosterone. I mean, and that's the whole culture. They're crazy people, basically, and they can't help it. That's who the globalists want, is just lunatics who would order TSA. I mean, say what you want about Bush. They didn't have TSA fondling children and women at the airport. I mean, this is a group taking their sick domination out in the open. They're criminals. Criminals always get reckless.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, you were saying that before, long before I was. Steve Quayle was saying that long before I was. And boy, I'll tell you, what a wake-up call I received when I realized everything you've been saying is true and everything that Steve's been saying is true. And to have somebody from, detached to DHS, law enforcement officer, say, hey, look, this is what's taking place. And it is. And to really sum it up, at this point, I believe, based on what my sources told me, we are at at the point now where there has been a commitment given by whether it's Valerie Jarrett or someone else close to Obama. Perhaps Obama doesn't even know about this or has a suspicion, but he's not in on the necessarily the integral planning of this. But that final go-ahead has been given, and certain conditions have to exist or should exist before whatever it is.
Well, there it is. From your source, there's the headline. Globalist to stage false flag for Obama, or false flag trigger to be pulled for Obama. I mean, you think that's an accurate headline?
I do. I do. Very much so. Yes, I do. And I think, you know, Canada Free Press picked up on this. Judy McLeod had written a story yesterday that kind of set the stage. Yeah, and we didn't collaborate on anything for this article about, staging a false flag event.
Look, we've got all these advisors saying, gee, it would sure help us. Now Obama's in trouble. Everybody better have their eyes peeled for this. You guys are going to cover this more tonight. People can find out at stevequayle.com or Northeast Intelligence Network's website. In fact, give people that site again.
It's Alex, thank you very much. It's HomelandSecurityUS.com. It's HomelandSecurityUS.com, not affiliated with any government website.
Sure, and we've had that up on screen as well. Let's bring Steve Quayle in here, who's on the show tomorrow. I think we should get you on after him tomorrow. He's on at noon, the radio show tomorrow. Steve Quayle, give us your take on what you just heard, because you were the one while we were on air that alerted me to Doug's new report. So we got him on with you at the end of this in-depth interview. This is just chilling because this fits into all the preparations we see. And then the criminals are so arrogant, they're writing op-eds, you know, in major publications going, don't worry, there'll be a big staged event we'll blame on people. I mean, they're so arrogant, they don't even put one inch of separation. They don't say they're going to stage it. They just say, don't worry, fundraisers. Doesn't matter if we're down the polls. There'll just be something staged. We'll blame on the Tea Party. I mean, they're now suspect number one, Steve Quayle, when there's an event. I mean, aren't they?
Well, absolutely, but it gets back, Alex, to the same thing. Everybody other than them is a target to be destroyed. They have assassination algorithms. We'll talk about that maybe tomorrow on your show. But again, Doug, why don't you give out the Blog Talk Radio that address too, because it's on Blog Talk Radio under Hagman and Hagman, right?
Correct. And Steve, the best way to do it would be just to go to I think you've got a link up on your website. If not, HomelandSecurityUS.com. Click on the Listen Now button.
Yeah, that's why I sent them there. And Doug, if you can do it in the hour after Steve tomorrow, that'd be 1 o'clock Central. I'd like to try to get you on because again, even if this is disinfo they're giving your people, all the preparations are there. We know they'd stage this if they could get away with it. We may be able to stop them if everybody runs around like chickens with their heads cut off right now, getting this info out. That could, or do you think if they've committed, they're still going to pull the trigger?
Well, Alex, my source said, look, you got to make this public. You got to let people know about this because it could very well stop this. It could very well.
Oh, that's key. Oh, really? What do you?
Now, this has been, of course, he's been saying that since April because this, by the way, this story is the culmination of a series of conversations
yes.
we've had. So, yeah, and every time he said, look, the more information you can pump out there, the more sunshine you can put on this, the more exposure you can get on this, the less likely, they are to expose, you know, to go ahead and do this because of the backlash. I mean, look, they want the backlash, but they're afraid of an informed backlash. I don't know if that makes sense. You know,
sure. I mean, they're wanting to get away with this and be able to launch it and not have people looking at it when it happens.
Yeah, they want the response. In other words, for example, using the Trayvon Martin shooting, you know, supposedly which wasn't a black on white or a white on black crime. They want that knee-jerk response. But if you know ahead of time that, hey, this is going to happen, this is being planned, it's going to happen, well, you know, then the response can be tempered, and, of course, it won't work.
Sure. I mean, you can diffuse it or partially diffuse it or misdirect it. Did he give any ideas on what it could be? I mean, it sounded like he was alluding to this will play race and financial groups off against each other.
Yeah, you know, he's stuck right along with since day one. There's a racial component to this. There's an economic component to it, a huge economic component to it, and just a general chaos aspect of the revolutionary component of the people involved. So, yes, the economics and race and class warfare.
All right, we're going to talk about it tomorrow on the radio for the second and third hour. Mr. Hagmann, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thank you, sir.
Thanks.
All right, closing comments, Steve Quayle.
Well, first of all, these are creatures of darkness, Alex, and so all the light we can get placed on them is good. But the point is there is a supernatural element to this, and evil of this nature cannot just be combated by shining the light on it. And I'm telling everybody, I'm saying it is time to pray and intercede. Intercede means to call upon God to show you what you have been blind to so that you can get your families out of harm's way. I believe a little differently than Doug does, because I got a call, I think I shared that with you at the beginning of our talk before we went to recording, that two people went out in the field and talked, and they basically said, it's coming down. You cannot put all this military into the field, have all of the secret stuff going on, the positioning of artillery tanks, drones, missiles being taken out, all these different sleeper cells activated. They are going for it. There is a timetable in the Middle East. We can talk about that tomorrow, try and tell people what will be the specific things to look for. But again, if this goes for everything a person owns, including their freedom, if you can't touch it, and you don't own it. So you have to be able to know this, that everything that you've taken for granted, whether it's your food, your medicine, your clothing, your vehicles, everything is in the globalists. They want it all, Alex.
Amazing.
They want it all.
All right, Steve Quayle, thank you. We'll talk again tomorrow on my syndicated radio show, and I'll be following what you cover on the radio. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Alex.
All right, folks, there goes Steve Quayle. Man, these are the times that try men's souls. Everyone can feel the energy. You can see intellectually what's going on. I agree we should pray to God to reprieve this country, but nobody reprieved the 50-plus million babies that have been aborted. You can see it all building up. I hope we get the word out and back this off. You know, we've backed off the Iran attack multiple times. We backed off so many other things that the globalists will use to bring in their new world order. But everything is lining up right now. And, that's it for this super extensive InfoWars at Nightly News. That's why I'm doing the Sunday radio show. It's why we do the Nightly News, because so much is happening. It takes this much time to cover everything. So please get the word out so we can back this off, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Alex Jones signing off. Until tomorrow, Lord willing, please pray for us. God bless you all.